when you come to us and your authenticity and your healing, we're so guarded, we're not going to hear you. I can walk out there in my toughness because I've been doing it all my life, but I don't like to be that person. I don't want to be that person. I want to be as vulnerable and tender as I hear your heart beating when I lay my head next to your chest. So my work to assist you is to remind women that you're trying. Yeah. And that if we don't give you a space to show up in your authenticity, what was the work for anyways?
Hello, world. It's me, Dennis, today. I have the pleasure of co-hosting another conversation with, this is with Clay Boykin and Donna Mills, but we're, Clay, you and I are on this journey, and you are.
Yes, we're on a journey, and I am in search of the new compassionate male.
And Donna, your work, your healing work, the work that you've been doing in your life, what resonates with you when you hear men standing up and saying, we need to bring our game, we need to grow, we are in search of compassion within ourselves? What does that resonate within you?
It's been a lifetime waiting to hear that. I came into this world without a father, and I quickly became a co-parent to my mother when I was six because she was divorced with three children, and I'm the eldest. I grew up with eight boys, my brother, my cousins, and the four boys that live next door to me. So I have been three single moms and myself, my grandmother, a host of women raising eight boys. And I remember distinctly one time my brother Jeff, he said to my mom, I love you as deeply as I can love a mother. You've given me all of you, and you'll never be my father, and you'll never be able to give me that. It broke my heart for my brothers because I had to think about myself as a woman growing up without a male role model. And his words gave me the gift of perspective from a young man's not growing up with a father also. And so that's been rough on all of us in my family. And for a lot of my younger years, I stood up in fierce, I can do this energy. I have been the leader. I've been the glue that holds my family together. If you want it done, give it to Donna. She'll get it done. But I'm exhausted. I'm exhausted. I've not only raised my own brothers, but I've raised both my kids by myself, both the men that I've had children with. The first one walked away after conception, which is exactly what happened with my mother when she was 15. I was not 15, but she was, and coerced in, you know, if you love me, you'll do this kind of stuff. And that's how I came into this world, under coercion. And so, yes, I have been holding the space for men to recognize who they are and not who society has told them who they are for my entire life. And I'm in my fifth decade on this planet. And I have come to this planet, and the gifts that God has given to me in this planet is tenacity and patience and longevity, because I still believe in that dream. I still believe in the dream of unified humans, regardless of gender, reaching deep into their God self to pull it out and to start to walk on this land, this heaven on earth, as their God selves in their Christed consciousness. And that has nothing to do with religion. It has everything to do who you are on your cellular nature.
Yes, our cellular nature. Clay?
Yes. I when you said that, Donna, it just hit me right here. And I immediately went back to my childhood. And first thing I thought of was My father wasn't there either, but he was. But he wasn't physically a lot of times, and he wasn't, you know, he was off someplace else in his head. And he was a good man, but I felt the pain of not having a father. And I just, that just flashed through my mind, and I just can't fathom how the boys with no father, how they must have felt growing up. And to be conscious of that, to be conscious that they are missing that father figure, it just really struck me.
Yes, and even the men that I grew up with, being in the seventh decade, here we have a seventh decade, a sixth decade, and a fifth decade human beings on the planet. And with me, from the growing up with men who were pushed into such rigid roles that they couldn't be the expanse of the rainbow of who they were, so therefore they slotted, which meant that when I looked at them, that was not who I could be. That's not who I was. So there must be something wrong with me. So we were continuing on. So that was part of this journey of how we missed you. And we missed you from this point of view about how we're looking to bring this forward.
You know, thank you. It's really curious. I grew up in this country without a religious background, but yet I grew up in the overarching Christian energy that this country has adopted. I'm not a Christian. I am a Jesus-loving pagan. I think that what Jesus came to share with us was how golden we are. And I find it very interesting. I pulled into a store the other day behind a gentleman. I live in Northern Idaho. I pulled into the store behind a gentleman in a truck that had a sticker on there that said God and guns. Mm-hmm. Yeah, God and guns. And build a wall, yes, around Idaho to keep out the documented liberals. So I wonder how men so fiercely machismoistic, is that a word? I'm going to make that up.
Yay.
How they can believe in God and guns with such force, yet Jesus walked so lightly across the earth. Where are they mistranslating his invitation?
You know, God, Clay, please.
Yeah.
Our former Marine, you know, deep executive in the executive male corporate culture years, please.
What came to mind when you said that, God and guns, that man's in fear. Mm-hmm. His deepest feeling is fear, and he's put layer after layer after layer to shield himself from what's out there. And now let's put borders on around our state. And I believe he's in fear of God.
Yes. Or the one that put the fear of God into him.
Yes.
Yes.
Well put.
Beautifully. I have never, Donna, I have never met an arrogant person who was not arrogant out of smallness.
Agreed.
And it's always from fear. I agree with you, Clay, that fear place, that fear of the other, gets us right back into that understanding that there is only so much pie. It's a zero-sum game. And I have this particular pie, and the minute you come in, I have some of the slice is going to come off of me. What women teach us, what the women teach us, is that 1 + 1 is greater than 2. Mm-hmm. This is the creative process. How do you gestate? How do you bring something together? Something that begins so small into an entire entity and a consciousness. We need to claim that with you so that we need to respect that. And to be able, because if I do that, Donna, I am going to then be able to respect myself more, and I don't have to go to that fear place so much.
Clay, thank you, Dennis. Clay, when you mentioned last conversation we had about the conversation between what women think when a man walks into a world, and what men think when they walk into a room full of women, I've been looking at that, and I have to say, I have always looked at grown men as their 6-year-old self in tenderness. I choose to look at them in their tenderness and everything that they missed in life that would have given them the compassion, the self-discovery, right?
Yeah.
And I hold them in that place. And maybe it's because I grew up with boys and not girls. I have had my own sexual trauma. My daughter was sexually traumatized under my own nose for 5 years. I know the pain that comes with an implosion like that in your life. And I didn't think I would live through it. There were days I contemplated not living. This is just too much. And it was too much. And it continues to be too much. And so I gave it to God. And I realized that forgiveness doesn't come without pain. To reach forgiveness, pain has to be present. So the acceptance that the pain is there and the choice to recognize everybody in their common humanity and their pain and their stories, no matter whether you were the perpetrator or the one being perpetrated upon, we all have our own pain.
Yeah.
That's it. And I would go back and stop that pain for myself or my daughter and every other male or female on the planet that has ever been violated in a sexual manner or a manipulative manner. I would take that. If I had one wish on this planet, I would take that.
Donna, you know, what I love about what you said is that it I think that's one of the things we're doing today, is that I don't know of a disinfectant better than sunshine. And by us talking about this, us being willing to bring this into the light, whomever may be listening, certainly I am listening, it helps me to be able to release some of the shame of the trauma that I went through, what I would have felt that was part of my own doing or my own part, and to allow it to be exposed so that I can heal. We have to heal together. There must be some road to redemption for both the perpetrators and the perpetrated. This healing path that's coming that
it's
you're on.
Courage. It's courage. It's the courage to put it on the table and look at it no matter how ugly it is.
Yeah.
That takes your heart. And that is the heart, no pun intended, all pun intended, of the word courage, right? And it is a great time of, it's a great undoing on this planet right now. It's a shedding for all that doesn't serve us moving into our higher consciousness. Moving forward, right? It's about progress, not perfection. It's about forgiveness, not shame. Wow. Forgiveness for not knowing who we were. I forgive them because they know not who they are. They know not who they are. If they knew who they were, they wouldn't be doing what they're doing.
Yes.
So I forgive them for they know not who they are. And why would they? We don't have a system that teaches us how golden we are. Why would they?
Yeah.
So dig deeper into compassion, dig deeper into patience, dig deeper into solution instead of finger pointing.
You know, Dennis, there's two things that come to mind. One is having the space to go there, to go into the sunlight, and to do it safely. And my work with the gender reconciliation folks is all about that, creating that safe space so Donna, you and I can come together and we can go to that depth, share the wounds, not to compare them, but to go through that catharsis of putting it out with another person who matters, and to recognize that and to honor that. And, you know, when we do that in that reconciliation work, we come away looking at one another differently and looking at ourselves differently. And the other thing that comes to mind is the word nurture. You know, these boys, the young boy inside me, the need for nurture. And yes, nurture from mother. But I submit that men need to learn how to nurture one another. Definitely. I don't hear that vocabulary. Men are going to come together to nurture one another. You just don't hear that. But the essence of it is that's the work that we've got to do together. We men have got to do together so that we can show up at a level of consciousness to be able to engage with women. And of course, it's not just male-female, it's all along the spectrum. But that, I believe, is the work that we do in our men's circle. It's not to go solve the problems and universalize and us versus women. It's finding that safe space so that we can learn how to connect head and heart, and then connect our heart to our mouth, you know, be able to speak that, because we feel it once we get there, but we don't have the vocabulary because we haven't been practicing that during our life. And we're holding space for one another as we, as men, do that in a circle. That's magic.
That's what I've seen. That's what I've seen, Clay, when I've attended the circles for the time, coming up almost in 6 months now, is that it's like it's a dress rehearsal. It allows us to hear other men going through things that we do. And I go, oh, that's how he can express it. This is how I can express it then. I see the nuances. We're able to be in this place where we do not have to be fully articulate. We can cry. We can figure out what we're doing. We can ask one another. And there is such a... It's exactly what you were talking about, Clay, the nurturing. It is a nurturing, nourishing place. And that's something that we, Donna, did not get. And then, of course, then we have the wonderful little wild card, that joker testosterone that floods into the brains of young boys from 11 to 13, you know, that time. And then, oh, now... And so you with all these brothers, that must have been fun.
Well, I've been pretty skilled in moving through the continuum between tomboy and goddess. So I can hang with the boys and I can clean up with the girls, whatever, you know. So, you know, Clay, what I was thinking when I was listening to you talk about the nurturing between each other, men, and Dennis, you said nurture and nourishing. And what popped into my head really quickly was like, wow, food is nourishing. And why would men cook and barbecue for each other and feed each other and high five at the ball game? And all of that is very nourishing. Conversation between each other is also just another form of nourishment, right? So why would you deny yourself that big juicy cheeseburger? Yeah. Assuming you're a meat eater, you know, why would you deny yourself? It's like, you know, I talk to my clients about the Trivial pursuit game piece that has all the pies pieces that go into it, right? And it's like, well, we've come as a world to this place where we have all of these pieces in there, but we're still working on this. And then that goes down to the individual as well. I've got all my pieces, but I'm still working on this abandonment piece, right? Mm-hmm. And that's okay. But what it does is it shows me that I'm ahead of the game in so many different places. You know, this is where I get to actually focus on my own growth, on my own nourishment. Mm-hmm. And then Clay, I received my own invitation during what you were saying, in that as you and other men are having conversations, I'm going to start having conversations with women, because we're so guarded that we're not going to hear you. When you come to us in your authenticity and your healing, mm-hmm. we're so guarded, mm-hmm. we're not going to hear you. I can walk out there in my toughness because I've been doing it all my life, but I don't like to be that person. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be that person. I want to be as vulnerable and tender as I hear your heart beating when I lay my head next to your chest. Mm-hmm. I want the commingling of our love and compassion and common humanity. So my work to assist you is to remind women that you're trying. Yeah. And that if we don't give you a space to show up in your authenticity, what was the work for anyways?
I so agree. And it brings up the point that there is work that men have got to do with men. And I believe the same thing is there's work that women, it's for women to do with women. And that's a preparation and a healing so that we can then come together a bit more whole in our own self and then work on a relationship of how we integrate. So I so believe that.
I'm wondering, Donna, because we're socially stratified, where men are more in the leadership positions in our government, and our it's changing, the balance is changing, but we're still over masculine, under feminine in that. And as far as the status of within society, I feel that it is incumbent upon us to take the first step. We have to do it because we're the ones who have been in the patriarchy, who have been living this time, and we have to show you our good faith and have to demonstrate that we are sincere in our willingness to grow in head and heart.
Thank you. I'll accept that first step on your part, because I think we've been waiting for it for a very long time, just to be seen for what we bring to the table as women. I'm not looking for equality, but equanimity.
Yeah.
Right. Clay's heard this before. Peanut butter is phenomenal. Jelly's phenomenal. Together, they make a great sandwich, right? But peanut butter doesn't diminish the brilliance of jelly, nor vice versa, right? Right. So the simple metaphor, but it's so easily illuminated.
Profound.
Yeah, in this instance. And you know, Clay, when you said in search of the compassionate, the new compassionate male, you also made a point the other day, not men, not the new compassionate man, but the new compassionate male. Right. Well, then what came to me, right? First, what came to me was, oh, I wonder why he uses male instead of masculine. But then what came in the shower was, hang on a minute, does male not live within the word female?
Bingo.
Thank you. Okay. Yeah. That's thinking, Mills. That's thinking.
Beautiful. Thinking. Thank you. So,
yes, I see that we're all involved.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And, you know, there's something you were talking about earlier about the men's work and the women's work, that, you know, the women want us to do this. I believe that about the only thing you can do is encourage us to go off and do it. Hmm. Because we guys, if you try and reach down and help us, mm-hmm. we're not going to take it. Now, that's, again, another generality, but there's some things that only men can learn from men.
I think that's possible, and that's been hard for me because, Donna, I've been in, I've spent my life around women and working with women and being, I'm very comfortable. I'm coming to men not trusting, being very difficult mm-hmm. about trusting and trusting that part and understanding who it is that I am. And this is a big opportunity. It feels like that we're getting a chance to come together to talk and to learn from and with one another. And as women, the thing that women standing up in their leadership, because I work in corporate America as a communication coach in this, I'm finding more and more that that men are looking at women as leaders rather than as women leaders. They're referring to them. There is a shift that is going on, and this is within big time corporate America. There's a shift in how these young men are looking at the women who lead them.
Mm-hmm. Yes, the young men, because the generation that we're in, I was born in the late 60s, so I'm in Gen X. Mm-hmm. The generation that we're in is unlike any generation before. And nobody said that, except for me. But and I'll tell you why. Because if you think about the boomers back, it's basically been the same for a very long time. Father goes out to work, mother stays home, raises 2.5 kids, right? Dog, cat, yard, picket fence, the whole thing. Now, there's been debauchery within all of that, but it's not been as prevalent as we can see now, because we can see so many more things, and shouldn't we be?
Yep. Right?
Shouldn't we be? So
everything was done behind closed doors. Everything was done behind. That was the facade. Was everything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Continue.
So our generation is in the middle. We're gatekeeping. We're in the middle of so much, right? So the, what are they calling them? Gen Y and the millennials and the kids that are coming after the Gen X, right? So the kids born in the 1980s. They are seed planters. They're opening up all the new potential and possibility of moving forward towards the, you know, we, away from me to we, right? So we're coming into we now. It is a, there is a levity coming onto the energetic system on this planet. There has been a density, and it is lifting now. And that's why so many more of us are finding each other. That's why so much is more to be seen. And it's an energetic lightness. And so in that, I see us as kind of the gatekeepers. There are some of us that are still ascribing to the boomers, and there's some of us that are ascribing to the future that came to hold open the gates, to be the disruptors, to say no, so they could say what's next. So in that, not only is it confusing for male, because they're coming out of the machismo and the boomers and the greatest generation ever and war. Like I was thinking this morning too, what the hell do men get out of war? Like because I just don't know why. Why? What is it that is in somebody or is planted into somebody, groomed into somebody that they could take somebody else's life, that they could stand up for service for one country and go to another and take lives as if they don't matter?
Well, that's a big topic, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. And it's, I get it. It's systemic. It's the story. It's not the individuals.
Well, but isn't it, Donna, when we got the mothers involved, in Vietnam and got the kids that were drafted, and suddenly, instead of just the men making the decisions, that suddenly there was a lot more. I mean, we make better decisions when we have men and women at the table than we do when we have men alone, because it's the difference between a monoculture and a plant and a field with many different, which one has greater healthy soil?
The diversified.
And that's why one of the reasons why I wanted to be on this call today, because reading your writing, God, you write like a dream. And it's just so lovely. And of course, Clay, I love you, and I get a chance to be around you as much as I have. And this is what I get. This is the conversations that are happening all over in little pieces, and we can go and nurture them and say, yes, let's have more.
Please, sir, have some more.
You know, we can have those conversations. And I had an occasion this week, as a matter of fact, I saw on Facebook this young fella had started a podcast, and it piqued my interest, a young black man with a family, two children. And he's working to say, we guys need the vocabulary. How do we get together and speak? And I was tremendously excited, because I want to have him have a conversation here, and we're going to do that. And he wants me to have a conversation there. And then when I shared that with the board chair for the charter, you know, Charlie Barker, when I shared that with him, he said, oh, I know somebody in Las Vegas, a young guy who's starting a podcast. And what's occurred to me is there are thousands of guys out there who have a voice and an audience.
Yes.
Wouldn't it be so cool for us to collaborate, to know of one another, and to be able to be on one another's podcasts from our own vantage point, from our own background, and feed into that? And of course,
cross-pollination.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Wow, and Dennis, you're hitting all my loves. I have a background in small farms and food and local economics and resiliency and bees. Happened to be the first piece of ink I put on my body. So anyway, yes, it's interesting, because the way things have turned out, I'll sit on my knees for a second. The way things has turned out is like, so I put this bee on my shoulder, the queen, because she keeps the hive alive, right? And there's a sunflower behind her. And then most recently, the last tattoo I put on is the lion under it. Right, with the Shekinah behind, with the Christed courage, right? Your courage. Oh. So it's not done. It needs its gold, and the lion needs to be finished. But I realized I also have a tattoo on my wrist called love. Well, you can't see it because it's...
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
But I realized I wrote a sentence on my arm, to be courageous in love.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. You know, when you said the bee... Just yesterday, and it's out there on Facebook floating around, there was this video, and it was a bee that had fallen in the honey. Oh, yeah. And the beekeeper put it at the entrance of the hive. And, of course, it couldn't do anything. And immediately these other bees descended on it and were cleaning it up, just meticulously taking and pulling that honey off of that, and bringing that bee back to life. It would have died otherwise. But I just thought that was so incredible that the bee population knows what it means to be in a group, a tribe, to nurture, that it's together that we survive and that we flourish. It was just wonderful.
You want to know what's even more brilliant about that story?
What's that?
Is that the beekeeper knew where to put the bee. Yeah. And I'll tell you why that's significant, because that is a human, male or female, who is in touch with themselves and nature enough to know how to help this creature.
Mm.
That is the definition of a true compassionate human.
Wow. Wow. Yeah.
To look beyond ourselves to something so small. And to remember, we're also that small in the scheme of things, right? In the gist of it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We're also that small.
During this time, Donna, what do you feel that is being called up for healing during this time, both of COVID and during the time of inequity that is being manifested in so many parts of the world right now, not just that are being brought forth? It feels like that there's some things that are being called forth to heal right now.
Some things, all things. Mm-hmm. All things, no joke and no exaggeration, all things. And that's why everything we see is so painful, because we can't heal what we don't see. Right now we're here to bear witness and to stand arm in arm with our fellow humans, regardless of gender, race, class, all of it, fellow humans. I didn't say men or women, black, white, yellow, pandas, whatever. I said fellow humans. Mm-hmm. We're here to look around and then to turn into the mirror and look at ourselves.
Yeah.
And ask, who are we in this? And who do we wish to be in this? And then go sort it out. Because right now it's concentric circles. It's us in the center. We have to look at ourselves and ask, where are we in and out of alignment with our own Christed self? I saw you pull that energy down, right? Mm-hmm. That Jesus came to tell us, if you wish to go to heaven, come through me. He said, walk as I walk on this earth. Mm-hmm. Walk as I walk on this earth.
Thank you.
Walk as I walk on this earth in lightness, in inclusivity, in tenderness, and in the light of love, and know that you are the incarnation of heaven and earth on this planet. Your body is flesh and bones and blood, and that's of this earth. And your spirit and your soul are of heaven. And in no place on this planet does God have agency except as and through us. As and through us. Otherwise, there is no agency for God to have on this planet. And it behooves us to remember that we are the conduit of which heaven and earth come through, and to behave as such, and to look into the eyes of our fellow humans and see them the way God looks at them. In that place, we will have peace, and I will start it if I have to.
Thank you, Donna. Thank you so much for joining us today, for your beautiful prayer, for your beautiful words, for your beautiful spirit, your beautiful self, and for reminding me that looking at myself, doing the work, and then coming back and looking at myself and saying just exactly what am I learning, and what am I doing, and how am I going to show up? How do I grow? That's what we talk about, Clay. Right. Is that how do we as men grow emotionally? How do we get in there and say, it's important. What would be the value of it first? Because it's not valued or undervalued. But what could be the value of us if we were to be more emotionally resilient, to grow, and to be actually to explore that field?
Yeah. You know, it comes to mind, Dennis, and I so agree with that. We're not meant to be alone, isolated. You know, the young baby that's isolated doesn't develop.
No.
It'll die if it doesn't have connection. And think about it in a tribe. It takes a tribe to survive. And for someone in the tribe to be outcast, that's fear. And yet, we guys are isolated.
Yeah.
you know, we may have gone up through some development. It may have been a recovery program or something, and we're looking for some spirituality, but we've been burned on organized religions. We're not going to go back there. My partner, my wife, we can speak, but there's a level there that I need to connect with another man on, but we're taught not to trust each other. And we're stuck right there in the middle between all of that. And we're festering in that. There's something there that's got to be worked out. And we're dying because of that, because we're isolated and we're alone in business and whatever. Yeah, we're around people, but we are absolutely alone. And to be able to find a space where we can open that and recognize that energy right there, you may call it the divine feminine energy, or you may call it the Christ energy, but to open that up and to integrate that, that's where the complete man, the complete male shows up.
And that's why I love, Clay, you using the word recognize, because it's to recognize. We're doing it again. As you said, Donna, we've lost our connection to source. It was there. We're not discovering something new. We're returning to love.
Yep. You know, Clay, so this will sound funny, but bear with me. I don't smoke cigarettes because I don't want to be manipulated. Right? So I know the nicotine companies put extra chemicals in there to keep you addicted, more than just pure tobacco, because that's a capitalistic corporate way of thinking. You know, we owe the shareholders, which I think is illegal anyways. But anyhow, I also recognize that women have access to all of the emotions except for anger and rage. And men get too, anger and rage. So I would challenge men, and I would ask them, what the hell are you letting somebody manipulate you out of your emotions? Why not have them? Yeah. Have them. It's the cigarette companies are not taking them away from you. Society, you know, society's trying to take them away, but it's less like rage back and say, I have all my emotions.
Yes.
Even if you have to use your anger and rage to take back your sorrow.
Yes.
Or to take back your love, your joy, your elation, your discontent, whatever, right? Like, have all of your emotions, please. I give them to you.
You know, amen,
sister. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. I was right there with her.
I read that a young boy is born, a baby boy is born with more emotion. Demonstrating, you know, more emotion than young baby girls. And yet what happens? You know, as soon as we are given the blue blanket instead of the pink blanket, we start getting, put those emotions down, channel them down. And you're right, we've only got two. And so there we are. And we haven't given ourselves permission. Our patriarchal system hasn't given that permission. And if we do, it's possible that we can become outcast, become isolated, and we die. We either die socially or metaphorically, or we really die.
Emotionally, to the women you love, the children you love, the community that you love. Everybody loses, not just you.
Yeah. No, it is. It's an all, and that's what I love about what you're talking about, Donna, is that you're reminding me is that we're all in this tribe. This is our tribe. We are all. There is no other.
Especially with the connections around the world. I mean, look at the impact of the coronavirus. How that's rippled, and it's not just people getting sick. But global economies, you know, and everything is that's what we are. It's no longer a situation where I can go live in my tribe over here and this tribe can live over here and we can take care of one another, because we all directly impact one another. You know, it's a global village.
It always has been.
Yeah, it has.
Yes,
been.
It has. We're hasn't
just,
it?
It, I've yes. just been bringing us, to that. Well, is there anything else, Donna, that is on your heart today that would be important in the in these closing few minutes to share with us, please?
I just want to thank you for doing the work, not just for men, but for yourself, because we can't come together until we come to self. We cannot come together until we come to ourselves. Otherwise, we just show up with loaded six shooters full of our triggers, right?
Yeah.
And I might have been conceived in Texas, but I do not live in Texas, and I do not own any six shooters. Anyways, I live in Northern Idaho. That doesn't work. Okay, take that back. Edit that out. I just want to hug every man I see and remind him, you're welcome here. Wow. You're welcome here on this planet. And you're welcome to take up all of your space. To the edge of time and space and dimension. You're welcome here.
Thank you, Donna. Clay?
I don't know what to say other than Donna. Thank you so very much for showing up as you do. You're a gift. You're a gift to us, and you're a gift to the world, and you're a gift to everyone that hears this podcast. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Donna Mills. Thank you, Clay Boykin. I'm Dennis Tardon. We'll see and hear you next time.